Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Oh, wow. This is like a really cool intro to a radio program. I do not feel very hip today. Hello, everybody. I'm not Abe Hamilton. I'm Todd Starnes. And it is an honor to be here with you today. I'll be with you all week here on American Family Radio. And it's an honor to be able to hang out with you. We're going to have a great time covering all of the big issues of the day. And I just want to say thank you to my good friend Abe Hamilton for letting me sit behind the big, beautiful, huge broadcast microphone. Of course, broadcasting today's program from downtown Brooklyn, New York, where I live among the indigenous liberal population. So all that to say, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to be taking a lot of your calls as well. I want you to go ahead and write down this telephone number. You will need it if you want to call into the program today. 888-589-8840. Again, it is a toll-free number, so we're going to pick up the the price tag here. 888-589-8840. So look, a lot of news happening today. Super Tuesday. We are just under an hour away from the very first polls closing. We're going to check in with a good friend of mine, Jen Kearns from thehill.com, one of the top political analysts out there. She's going to give us the lay of the land in just a little while. Also, I had a chance to sit down with Laura Trump, the president's daughter-in-law. She's married to Eric Trump, and we will share some of that audio with you in just a little while. But first, I want to start out with what is probably the biggest story here in America. And no, it's not the coronavirus. No. We'll talk about that in a minute. The biggest story in America is what happened in Nashville, Tennessee, and across large parts of the Volunteer State late last night. This giant killer tornado just plowed through parts of downtown Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And just a few moments ago, they updated the death count. It is now at least 25 people. At least 25 people lost their lives overnight. People were sleeping as this rain-wrapped tornado, this monster storm, just blew through the region and just caused massive destruction. And we're certainly going to need to pray for the good people of the Volunteer State. It is a very bad situation. Many people were injured, and many homes, many schools, businesses just wiped off the face of the earth. And a good many people in the Christian music industry were also impacted by what happened. Many of them live in that area. And fortunately, none of them lost their homes, but people like For King and Country writing about their experiences as the sirens sounded and people started, you know, waking up and diving for cover. Matthew West talking about the damage. Our good friend Franklin Graham, by the way, we understand, I had a chance to speak with our friends at Samaritan's Purse earlier in the day on our 3-hour afternoon show, noon to 3 Eastern, and Franklin was telling us that they are already sending a caravan of people to Middle Tennessee so they can help with the recovery efforts. Samaritanspurse.org if you'd like more information about that. But I thought Stephen Curtis Chapman summed it up probably better than anybody else could. He shared a Bible verse. And in times of need, this is where we go to find our comfort. Our ultimate comfort is in the Holy Scriptures. And Stephen Curtis Chapman, sharing a verse of Scripture from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms 34:18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And that is a great encouraging word to many people who went to bed with a beautiful home and they woke up with nothing. So pray for the good people there in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's pray for a speedy recovery, not just physically, the people who were injured, who were wounded, but also pray for a quick spiritual recovery as well, and a physical recovery as far as homes and businesses and things of that nature. And we would like to hear from you. Maybe you survived the storm and you are listening to this program right now. Maybe you have family members, you have loved ones who were in the path of the storm. We would love to hear your stories as well. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Now, of course, the other big story is Super Tuesday. 14 states voting today. 1,357 delegates will be decided. And, of course, on the Republican side, it's Donald John Trump in a landslide. Make America great again. Hashtag keep America great. But on the Democrat side, ladies and gentlemen, it is a free-for-all. It's like, I don't know, a Baptist church business meeting on a Wednesday night. I've never seen people using such language before. Geez, aloo. Earlier today on Fox News Channel, Donna Brazile, the former DNC chair, used all sorts of profanity to go after the RNC chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel. I mean, there's no cause for that. But again, the Democrats are in a state of great turmoil right now. There has been a civil war brewing within the Democrat Party, and it's been brewing since 2016. I wrote a book about this back in 2017 called The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. And I told people back when I wrote that book that the bigger story coming out of the 2016 election was not Donald Trump, but it was the rise of socialism in America. And ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. At the end of the day, the election this fall will be a referendum. Do we choose a path that leads to freedom and liberty, or do we choose a path that leads to death and destruction? That is the question that we will be faced with at the ballot box when we go and vote in November. And I have to tell you, I am an evangelical Christian. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Convention, so I'm a Southern Baptist. My grandparents were old school United Methodist back in the day. So during the summertime, I got to double dip during the vacation Bible school. You know, you go to the Methodist church where they give you the Oreo cookies and the nice Kool-Aid, and then you go to the Baptist church where, you know, we got the Hydrox cookies. You know, it is what it is. They were still good. Delicious cookies. But regardless, I'm on a tangent here. But the issue here facing all of us people of faith in this country is where we go as a nation. Because I'm telling you, folks, under a socialist regime, religious liberty does not fare very well. As a matter of fact, I contend that one of the reasons why we've seen so many attacks on religious liberty is simply because the socialists cannot take over a country where God is the focus. If you are one nation under God, yeah, the socialists can't take over. And I believe that's one of the reasons why, over the past decade or so, we have seen so many attacks on religious liberty. So we're going to get into that with Jen Kearns talking about Super Tuesday. The Democrats are going to have to make a decision. Are they going to fully embrace socialism, or are they going to go down another path? And I suspect they're going to have to embrace socialism. That's who they are. That's what the party has become. All right, look, I want to go to the phone lines real quick. We have Cindy on the line. Cindy, listening to us from Texas, and I understand that your daughter lives in Nashville. Cindy, first, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, so I understand your daughter lives in Nashville. How is she doing, and what are you hearing from your daughter?
Well, praise the Lord, she is fine, but last night we weren't sure she was going to be. She lives just east of the downtown part of Nashville, and we'd heard they were going to have storms earlier that day. She had texted the whole family. She has 9 other brothers and sisters to say, y'all pray for me.
Oh, big family.
She's a musician up there and lives alone in a little tiny frame home, and so we prayed. But then around 12:30 midnight, she texted, probably just so she wouldn't wake me if I was not awake, but it woke me, and then she said, it's coming. It really is coming. So I called her, and there was no place for her to go. I told her, just get in your bathtub and put a mattress on top of you, since there was no other place. It was too late to go anywhere else. And we sat and talked off and on for an hour and a half. While the worst part of it was coming over, I could hear even over the phone the hail hitting the window and the sirens. And she kept saying, Mom, I want to go, because in case I don't make it, I don't want you hearing it over the phone. You'll never get over that. Just know I'll be with Jesus. And she would hang up, and I would call her back in a few minutes and say, are you still okay? But it was bad. It was really, really bad. I've never had that kind of concern. They've had tornadoes there. We've had them here. And I'm the one that wants to chase them and look at them. But last night I could tell this was something different altogether. So it's heartrending. And she.
But your daughter's okay. Your daughter's okay.
Praise. Yes. Thank the Lord. He answered our prayer.
Amen.
And her house was not touched. Thank you.
Well, Cindy, hey, we appreciate you calling in, and so glad your daughter is okay. And wow, I can't even imagine that kind of a phone conversation, folks. Can you imagine getting a call like that from your child and you're hundreds of miles away? And because as a parent, you just want to be there. But praise God that we serve a Lord who protects us and watches over us, and He knows what's going to happen, and He took care of Cindy's daughter. I want to go to Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Chris is on the line. And Chris, I understand that's one of the communities that got hit really, really hard.
Yes, sir. It really did. And I've been looking at the pictures. And it's really a devastating situation. Thank goodness the children are okay. Unfortunately, son-in-law, he is the manager of two warehouses there in Mount Juliet. I'm not going to say what corporation it is, but unfortunately, the lady security guard for those warehouses, she did not survive. She went to the designated shelter space inside of the warehouse, but unfortunately, that warehouse was completely demolished, and she was trapped under the debris, and she did not survive. The other warehouse is only 30% salvageable, but thank goodness the children are okay. And just wanted to send out prayers and condolences to everyone who has lost loved ones, to their friends and their families. But I just wanted to tell you something beautiful. Sunday, when they left church, the 2.5-year-old, and this is a 2.5-year-old child who survived 5 viruses attacking her and putting her on life support.
My goodness.
Yes, sir. She is what I call a miracle child. But her mother put her in the car seat, and Peyton looked at her mother, and she sent me the video. And just out of the blue, Peyton said, God is good. And that just was so beautiful to me. And yeah. God is good. And I know that God is going to heal the hearts of those who have lost loved ones. And I just hope that we all pray that God will do that He will give them their everlasting fond memories of their loved ones and heal their hearts quickly.
And but, Chris, I have no doubt that the Lord is going to hear that prayer, and the Lord is going to answer that prayer. Hate to do this, Chris, but we've got to take a quick break here. Thank you for calling. Folks, 888-589-8840 is our toll-free number. That's 888-589-8840. This is Todd Starnes in for Abe Hamilton. Coming up, Jen Kearns from TheHill.com. This is American Family Radio.
UPS delivered a bad package. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. UPS drivers in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina were told to stop praying together before work, and several drivers were fired. Last year, about 40 UPS drivers started voluntarily praying together each morning in the parking lot prior to the beginning of their shifts. The group grew to about 60 drivers. But then they were told to stop because someone else may feel discriminated against. Liberty Council sent a demand letter to UPS stating this ban was a violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Drivers' prayer before work must be allowed, and the drivers who have been fired must be reinstated. Employees can voluntarily read the Bible, pray together, or discuss spiritual matters before their shifts begin for the day, during their lunch breaks, or at any other time when they're off the clock. Know your religious rights and stay informed at Liberty Council's website, lc.org.
Now, where is the evidence? This is Ken Ham on a mission to strengthen the global church with God's Word. If evolution really happened, we'd expect to see transitional forms and massive change in the fossil record. But what we find are a lot of extinct creatures and a lot of creatures that look just like their modern counterparts. Take feather stars, for example. These are feathery-looking creatures in our oceans. They're also found in Cretaceous rocks, supposedly around 150 million years old. But the fossils look exactly like feather stars living today. No evolution has taken place. The fossil record isn't a history of millions of years of evolution. It's a testament to the global flood of Noah's day just thousands of years ago.
View a complete transcript of this program or share it with others when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com. You'll be strengthened and encouraged at AnswersRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. The media and the world seem to be in a complete meltdown over the coronavirus. Regressives seem to be secretly hoping for a pandemic in the hopes it will damage President Trump. But our response should be from faith and reason, not from panic and fear. The New England Journal of Medicine indicates the mortality rate is very low, perhaps considerably less than 1%, and is more like a severe seasonal influenza. There have been zero cases among children younger than 15, and deaths primarily occur among the elderly who were already suffering from another illness. The vast majority of patients recover. The virus does spread easily, which is why President Trump was wise to immediately close our borders to non-American travelers from China. Faith is the refusal to panic, and this is no time to panic.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God, you know the thing.
Wait, what thing? What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? Ladies and gentlemen, can we play that soundbite one more time, please?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God, you know the thing.
All right, could somebody please explain to me how this guy could very well be the next president of the United States? It makes absolutely no sense. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes, filling in for my good friend Abe Hamilton, and we're having a great conversation, Super Tuesday, just under 40 minutes now from the first polls closing. 14 states are voting, and that guy you just heard, Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, is giving Bernie Sanders, the socialist slash communist, a run for his money. I want to go right now to the newsmaker line. Our very good friend, Jen Kearns, joins us. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you. I hope you're not expecting me to be the Uncle Joe Jive Talk translator.
No. I've been covering these Democrat debates, and I'm going to be honest with you. I think I would rather get the coronavirus than have to listen to another Democrat debate.
Boy, that is true. Hey, at least we can now say we no longer have to listen to Tom Steyer, Mayor Pete, and a handful of them. But boy, this is getting more and more interesting as we go into the night here on Super Tuesday.
So what are some of the things that you think we need to be looking out for as we move through the night?
Well, look, I think regardless of the results tonight, Todd, one thing is inescapably true, and that is that Milwaukee is going to burn. The Bernie Bros have been threatening for weeks that they intend to burn down Milwaukee, the site of the DNC convention this summer, if they don't get their way. And you look at those statements, look at the Antifa violence that's happening across the country, many of whom include members of Bernie Sanders supporters. And that was all before we had the following interventions. So we've seen over the last few days, this has sort of been a Democratic Party family intervention here to try to save the party from itself. And that includes the entire Democratic Party establishment falling in line behind Biden. And then Mama herself speaking this morning, Hillary Clinton interjecting herself into the fray today, calling the Sanders campaign baloney, basically calling his whole socialism platform a big scam. Here you have a millionaire flying on private jets talking about how socialism would be the best thing for this country in decades. And I think she's right. But those two developments, Todd, in the last 72 hours are going to be crucial going into the next 90 days. The battle we are about to see in the Democratic Party is going to be like nothing you've ever seen in our lifetime.
Do you believe that we could be heading, I mean, we could be heading towards a brokered convention? Because that does seem to be the general line of thought here and line of thinking is that the Democrats are going to be heading towards some sort of a brokered convention.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. I think it's more likely than not that we do have a brokered convention in July. And here's why. You have Bernie Sanders in the last 24 hours coming out and saying, they ought to change the rules at the DNC, that the pledged delegates, which are all of the people, human beings that are committing to Bernie Sanders, saying, yes, you've won our state by X percent. We will go ahead and pledge our delegates to you in July. Well, you know, a lot of things can happen between now and July. Human beings can be bought and paid for. They could be persuaded that Bernie Sanders is not the right candidate, and they can renege on those pledges. And so Bernie Sanders is saying, look, we ought to change the rules. The pledge delegates right now versus the actual real live delegates that are awarded by some states as solid delegates that can't change their minds between now and the time the convention commences on July 13th, those pledge delegates should also count. Hillary Clinton, that's the chief reason why she came out this morning, Todd, and waded into this controversy. She said, no, pledged delegates shouldn't count. You should only be the nominee if you got actual hard written delegates, one in state, not just the pledged ones, not just the ones that your social friends have promised you, but you have to go into the convention having those delegates in hand. So that's really going to be the big sticking point for this big civil war in the Democratic Party over the
you
next 100 days.
And here's what I don't get. You've got all these people out there endorsing Joe Biden, except for one person who has yet to do that, and that's Barack Hussein Obama. You would think that he would have come out before Super Tuesday and gone ahead and thrown his hat into the ring. And Jen Kearns, this is leading to my question here. My theory still holds true. I don't think that the nominee, the eventual nominee, is in the race yet. And I'm wondering if there's a reason why Obama is not endorsing Joe Biden yet.
Well, it very well could be that Michelle Obama is eyeing the spot. We've talked about this on your show as well. I think that is probably less and less true as we get closer to November. I think that the big Democratic Party family intervention that's happened in the last 72 hours, I think that was done at the behest of the Clintons. I think it was done at the behest of James Carville, who's been out on news radio and TV over the last 2 weeks saying that this intervention needed to happen. But there was one key person that was missing from that, and I think it was Terry McAuliffe who actually waded in and talked some sense into the rest of the Democrat ticket and said, hey, we need to sort this out. Terry McAuliffe has sort of become the godfather, the kingmaker in the National Democratic Party, and I think he got into it. Now, it is interesting why Barack Obama has not come out and endorsed Joe Biden. You also look at a recent state there in Nevada where Bernie had the big win. He had the entire Senator Harry Reid team on his side, in his ground operations team. And that was credited for winning the state of Nevada. So you do have to ask yourself, why is it that the people closest to Joe Biden, the president for whom he served, and even Harry Reid, the Senate leader, for a lot of the time that Joe Biden and he were in the Senate together, they were apparently great friends, did not endorse him in Nevada. So there's something about Joe that these Democrats know that the rest of us don't know, and I think it's time for Democrats to start speaking up about exactly what that holdup is.
Well, it's going to be an absolutely fascinating night. I know that you are going to be live tweeting this, so we're going to be talking about it on our website, toddstearns.com. Jen Kearns, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Todd. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Great lady right there. And she's very, look, when Jen makes predictions, they typically come true. So she has a very long track record of covering politics. And this is going to be a fascinating, fascinating night. And she's right. This is a civil war. And this is a big problem here, folks, because we have a major political party that has, quite frankly, been overrun by the socialist. That does not bode well for anyone. And I say that because this is only going to get worse in America. I'm a huge advocate of homeschooling or Christian private schools for your kids. If you send your kids to a public school, and I don't mean every single one of them across the country, so don't dial up the phone, don't get too terribly upset here. But if I'm talking about a good many public schools across this country have been overrun by propagandists, and these radical leftists are literally brainwashing our kids. Why do you think that a majority of millennials and Generation Zers are favoring socialism over capitalism? It's not because of the conversations they're having around the dinner table. It's because of the conversations they're having in the public school classrooms. So when you look at people like the AOCs of the world, when you look at people like the Rashida Tlaibs and the Ilhan Omars of the world, anti-Semites all, that is the future of the Democrat Party. That is the base of the Democrat Party. Do not be surprised if Bernie Sanders does very well tonight, especially in some places like the Deep South, because people are buying into this nonsense they're being taught in the public school classroom. 888-589-8840. Just curious if you went out to vote today, if you are a Republican or a Democrat, would like to hear from you. We're also taking calls from folks who may have had loved ones in the Nashville area, Middle Tennessee area, going through this horrible tornado that plowed through the region last night. 888-589-8840 is our phone number. I've got to share this story with you. This is mind-blowing, ladies and gentlemen. Mind-blowing! The land of Lincoln, the state of Illinois. Good people there in Illinois. Well, they've got a coalition, a task force that has been created called Strengthening Inclusion in Illinois Schools. That's code, folks, and I'll explain that in just a moment. So there's a big problem, apparently, in the public schools in Illinois. And the governor commissioned a task force to study how they could better incorporate and protect transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming students. Now, just as an aside here, when I was growing up in the 1970s, we had little boys and little girls. Little boys went to the little boys' room, little girls went to the little girls' room. That's the way it was. And everybody was happy. But now in the state of Illinois, they have just released this 50-page recommendation. And this list recommends all sorts of crazy things to make sure that schools are affirming and inclusive. Here are some of the ways they recommend that schools be inclusive and affirming to non-binary and gender non-conforming students. Prom kings and prom queens, a big no-no. From now on, they should be called prom royalty. There will be no more prom kings and prom queens if this task force is successful in implementing their policies. But it goes far beyond that. words like mother and father will be eliminated. From now on, the parental units will be known as parental units or guardians. Little boys, little girls, wrong. No, from now on, they shall be identified as students. And it gets worse. The report exposes a radical agenda to deconstruct gender beginning in preschool, folks, preschool through the 12th grade. Boys who identify as girls could use the bathrooms and shower facilities of their choice. And I want to read this. This is a direct quote. Just so you know, there's no wiggle room here. The facilities include but are not limited to locker rooms, restrooms, and shower facilities. The task force also recommends eliminating the use of gendered language. Students shall be called scholars or students instead of boys and girls. They will also adopt a gender-neutral dress code. Districts must allow transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming students to compete on athletic teams and participate in interscholastic activities consistent with their gender. So in other words, if you got Larry, and Larry wakes up one day and he decides that he wants to be a girl that day, then Larry could try out for the girls' basketball team. And nobody could do anything about it. Classes involving physical education would never be divided by gender, and they would never teach appropriate gender behavior, as in, that's not ladylike, or little boys don't hit little girls. You're not allowed to do that anymore. Do you see what's happening? I wrote about this in my book that came out in October, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. I'm telling you, the socialists are literally taking over our public schools, folks, taking over our public schools. And unless we get a handle on that, and I know everybody likes to talk about taking back Washington, D.C., but unless people of faith, unless Christians stand up and take back their local school systems, the country's going to be lost. I want to go to line three. Mike is listening to us in Texas. Mike, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today?
Hey, it's good to hear from you. I went and voted today, and I'm a little unhappy with the candidates that I have running in my area, but did the best I could. Did a lot of research and found out who should be voted for, who shouldn't be, and went out and did that. And I heard you guys talking about how socialism is being taught in schools, and I can attest to that. I do work in the public school system. I'm working on becoming a history teacher myself, getting certified. And right now I'm currently an ISS teacher here in College Station, Texas. And, man, the amount of information that my kids are hearing in the classroom every day that is absolutely wrong, factually, is incredible. I have to help these kids with their homework. I have to help these kids take their tests. I see the information, and I end up having to correct it. And there is a huge weight over my head that the public school system is saying, you can't say this, you can't say that. But the Word of God is telling me to speak the truth. So I had to make a decision. I prayerfully go into that classroom every day knowing that He is the God of the universe. And if I lose my job, I lose my job. But so help me. I will tell those kids the truth. And many of them have heard what I think about American politics. Many of them have heard about what the Bible says about American politics. And by the grace of God, I've been able to witness and share the full gospel with maybe 200 or 300 students in school suspension. And these are the kids that need to hear it most. But the other kids, the other 700 students in the classroom are blissfully going to Rome and getting educated by Caesar. And
well, Mike,
they are being
Mike, I hate to do this. We're going to have to cut you off. I do apologize because we're going to have to take a break here. But you're doing what you need to be doing in the classroom. Good for you. God bless you, sir. Hey, 888-589-8840, our toll-free number. That's 888-589-8840. I'm Todd Starnes. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Being filled up with our own ways and ourself and our agenda, and we can make a mess of life, and that's not a lot to walk away with positively. Be satisfied with the Lord and set your priorities on the things above.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central
on American Family Radio.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. If you want to know what's wrong with America, just listen to the question asked of Senator Bernie Sanders during CNN's town hall meeting in South Carolina.
This May, I will be graduating from law school with over $250,000 in student loan debt. What is your plan to help students like me with student loan debt, and how do you plan to pay for it?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is everything that's wrong with the entitlement generation. Sadly, there is a generation of young Americans who do not believe in personal responsibility. Senator Sanders assured the graduate student that under his socialist plans, all student debt would be eliminated. For what it's worth, that young lady is about to graduate law school, but I'm afraid she missed the class on contracts, specifically the part about signing your name on the dotted line. That means the only person responsible for your debt is you. Be sure to get my new podcast. It's a free download, available at toddstarnes.com.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
All right, Todd Starnes here in for Abe Hamilton, and it's what an honor to be able to hang out with you guys. And terrific calls today. We're going to get back to the phones in just a minute. I would like to invite you to check out my website, toddstarnes.com. We have all sorts of great stories for you. We have an awesome podcast. I host a three-hour talk show Monday through Friday, noon to 3 Eastern, and you can listen live on our website, or you can download our free podcast. So we do a lot of free stuff for you guys at toddstarnes.com. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Oklahoma and say hello to Sherry. Sherry, what's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm enjoying this broadcast so much.
Thank you.
I have a question. Okay, what would happen if a straight guy who claims to be transgender, who dates girls, claiming to be a lesbian, who wants to use the showers,
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to... This is like one of those word problems in mathematics. So if you have a lesbian... Okay, I got it. A straight guy.
A straight guy.
Mm-hmm.
Claiming to be transgender, mm-hmm. who dates only girls, who claims to be a lesbian, who wants to use the showers. What would happen in that case?
This is a terrific question.
If he claims to be transgender, who's to say, you know, everybody else is, you know, going to be pulling the same thing?
Sherry, I'm going to answer your question for you. According to the policies they're recommending, so again, this is the task force's recommendations. The school would have to accept the student's request at face value. And Sherry, we didn't get to this part of the story, but there are no guarantees that the parents of the child would even be informed. So if you have a child, let's say your child goes to school and your child is Sally at home, but wants to be Barry at school, the school district would accept that at face value without even telling you as a parent. That, to me, is probably the biggest problem I have with this whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it outrageous, though, Sherry? Because you're right.
It is.
I mean, what's to stop a child from just pretending, you know, to get into the girls' locker room?
Right.
Yeah, it's outrageous. I'm telling you, homeschool or Christian school if you can. And run.
I agree.
Run. All right, Sherry. Hey, thanks for listening, and we appreciate you calling in. Give us a call back sometime soon.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Cheryl on line 3. Cheryl is also calling from Oklahoma. Hi, Cheryl. What's on your mind today?
Oh, just was listening on my way to the polls and got in and out pretty quickly, and you had been reading off a comment on this Illinois school thing about there was some labeling or thing, and they talked about if you are a non-conforming gender something or other. I can't remember where it was.
Gender non-binary, which I thought that dealt with numbers, but apparently it does not.
I think it's one of those old-fashioned simple computer things where, you know, the ball goes down and goes one way or the other, and that's how you get to wherever you're going. I thought that was a binary thing, but never mind.
I have a headache.
Anyway,
oh, my word.
I know. Well, I thought you had said something about something that was a non-standard something or whatever, and the word that they were using there implied that there had to be a standard that you were non-conforming with.
Yes, gender non-conforming, and then they have non-binary. So I think that's two separate identities.
Well, the non-conforming implies there is a standard that would be the norm that you would not be complying with. So aren't you, in effect, admitting that there is a standard that these kids are not following, and so what's wrong with us following the standard?
Cheryl, I just want to say something here to the rest of the listening audience, the AFR listening audience. You know, they say that Rush Limbaugh has the most brilliant listeners in America. No, I don't think that's true. I think it's AFR. Cheryl, you have made more sense than any person I've heard on talk radio today.
That might be kind of scary. But anyway, and also I just wanted to say our hearts and prayers go out to the people in Nashville. I live in an area in Oklahoma where within 30 miles of me, we have had probably 3 or 4 of the biggest tornadoes in the most recent history and just the things that go on with it. I just want to remind people to pray for the people, the search and rescue, the ones that are out there tasked with finding bodies and making identifications and looking at hopeless type situations. They need a protective covering over them that what they see does not be, it's not detrimental to them, because that stuff can mess you up for the rest of your life.
Pray for the first responders.
And all you're doing is going. So I just ask for, you know, prayers for that. And like I said, we Oklahomans always stand ready to help whenever we can. So.
Well, good people in Oklahoma. And Cheryl, you're one of them. And thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening. And give us a call back sometime soon. Cheryl, you're right, though. She's right, ladies and gentlemen. Got to pray for those first responders. Some of the things they're seeing, I just can't even imagine. Hey, I want to go right now to the Newsmaker line. Real honor to have Paris Denard with us from the Trump 2020 campaign. Paris, it's been a while. I hope you're doing good today.
Doing great. Thanks for having me back on the show.
And you know, we were talking about the tornado in Nashville. We understand that President Trump is going to make a visit to Tennessee on Friday. This just goes to the heart of who this president is. He is a man who deeply cares about people all over this country.
Well, it's true. Listen, the president is not only the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, but he has to at times be the comforter-in-chief. And I think it's appropriate when the president can go and visit these areas and really remind the people there that are suffering or that are rebuilding or that need a little bit of hope that the federal government, the President of the United States, has not forgotten about them and their needs and their desires to rebuild and get their lives back together. And the president goes down when he can have the smallest footprint where the lives and rescue and things have been settled. That's why he's going down on Friday. It's a great thing for him to do. It's an important thing to do, and it's an important part of the presidency.
You know, one of the things I appreciate about this president, and this is, this is a Christian radio station. This president has taken such a bold stand for religious liberty. He's gotten a lot of flack for that. But beyond taking a stand for religious liberty, the judges he's been putting on those lower courts, it is going to revolutionize this country, Paris.
Well, listen, Todd. There's no doubt that Christianity is under assault in America. There's no doubt that freedom of religion but more so the fundamental morals and values that make our country great and that we were founded upon, those Judeo-Christian principles, morals, and values, are under attack from the liberal media, from the extreme left, Hollywood, et cetera. And so it is so refreshing to have a president in office after 8 years, who is proudly proclaiming the gospel and putting in people who understand our values as Americans and is trying to fight to protect not only life from those liberals who support things like infanticide. Still, in 2020, there are people in places of power who have no problem with killing babies full term after they have been born, and it's completely viable. This is a president, as you know, who has done things from a compassionate standpoint when it comes to criminal justice reform and restoring freedom and fairness to people and giving people second chances, restoring families together. This is a president who has said from the days of his inauguration address that he was not going to forget about the forgotten men and women of this country, and he's lived up to that promise. And it's an inspiring thing to do and to see. And it's also good, as he relates to the judges, to see that he is appointing strict constructionist jurists who understand the Constitution is the Constitution and that we need to protect it, protect our rights, and protect freedom of speech and protect freedom of religion. And so this is a president who's a champion for evangelicals like myself.
And, you know, Senator Tim Scott, a couple of weeks ago, made this comment about how the president has been reaching out to African-American communities, Hispanic communities, and there is such what I find so amazing is the authenticity of the relationship. I saw Pete Buttigieg go down to South Carolina and it didn't
you
work.
You saw him put that ridiculous, no, not only, I'm glad you brought that up, Todd, because I was so offended by that. It was a mockery of the black church. It was a mockery of Christianity for this man to go down and do it and stand there and do what he did and stand there in those pulpits. But even Andrew Yang, when he went down there and he got put on a choir robe it's terrible. You know, you cannot have people acting and pretending to be champions of the gospel and what the gospel teaches and what it says, especially in the public sphere. President Trump and his record has done that, but these Democrats and their policies and the things that they stand for or don't stand for is pretty disgusting, really, honestly. And I am sick and tired of the church acquiescing to these politicians who are proposing policies and legislation that goes against the Bible and against the Constitution, and we have to put a stop to it.
Well said. I'm with you 1,000% there, and this president, he is authentic, and that authenticity, people respect it. When he goes down to the Deep South, you don't see him, with the fake Southern accent, dropping his G's and waving around. He doesn't do that. He's the same guy from Queens, New York, if he's in Mobile, Alabama, or Tupelo, Mississippi,
exactly,
as he is back in New York City.
Well, that's why I'm proud to be on Black Voices for Trump as the advisory board member. And if the president is authentic, he doesn't pander. His engagement with the Black community, the unprecedented support that he has put behind supporting HBCUs and criminal justice reform and opportunity zones and small businesses, and the money that's coming from the campaign to support Black Voices for Trump and putting in 17 community centers across the country in urban centers, spreading the message of what this president is doing to uplift communities of color and uplift the forgotten men and women of this country. It's unprecedented, and it's real. And he has had that heart for people for years, well before he became a candidate for president. And so when you talk about authenticity, I think it's the reason why you have hundreds of thousands of people RSVPing for rallies and willing to stand in line, tens of thousands of people willing to stand in line up for days just to get an hour to be in the room with him, and then not even get into the Coliseum or the arena and stand outside to watch it on the screen. It's because they're motivated and they connect with him because we know he's fighting for us.
Well said. All right, Paris, we're going to have to leave it there. Good hearing from you. It's been a while.
Let's not make it so long. Let's do this again soon.
Indeed. Sounds good. Paris Denard, ladies and gentlemen, good guy. You know, they used to send him over to CNN all the time. I just felt so bad for him. Can you imagine that being your job, having to go on CNN, the most profane name in news, or MSDNC, and having to deal with, oh, my word. Oh, I'll tell you what. So, but he is a soldier, a warrior, and he is fighting for, you know, for the American dream. He's fighting for religious liberty, and that means a lot. All right, you know what? We've got time for another quick call here. Let's go to Jim, line 3 in Texas. Jim, we've got about 45 seconds or so. What's on your mind? Did we lose Jim?
No. Nope,
all right,
Mayor,
let's go.
Just a quick
Jim, do we have you?
Quick question. Yes, did you hear me?
Coming in loud and clear.
All righty. I'm just wanting to know, these people in Illinois, who are they electing, these pinhead head people that are passing these laws or trying to pass these laws?
Mm-hmm.
I used to live in Southern Illinois, unless it's the city of Chicago, which we won't even go there, elects these people. Something's happened to that state.
Jim, it's a fair question, and folks, sorry for the phone connection, but Jim wanted to know how did these peanut heads get elected? Well, the reason why is because a lot of good church-going people around the country just don't go out to vote on Election Day. And as a result of that, really bad people get elected into office. I'll give you a quick example. I had to run down to the market right before I came on the show. We did a noon to 3 show. I had to run to the market to get some groceries. And they just implemented a plastic bag ban in New York City. A plastic bag ban. So now we have to pay for paper bags. It was raining outside and my bag disintegrated. And why do we have a ban on plastic bags? Well, because they elected a bunch of Democrats. That's why. All right, look. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. It's been a lot of fun, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot more going on at ToddStearns.com. I'd encourage you to check out the website. We're going to be back tomorrow, same time, same location, on the Hamilton Corner. Abe is off, and they're letting me hang out and fill in, and I really am grateful. Get out there. Have a great evening, everybody. I'm Todd Stearns.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.